and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Tamla Mann is reminding us that God provides.
It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see. And my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God,
watch God provide. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to train ourselves to think about God's provision as certainly including that which is material, food, drink, clothes, housing, etc. But let's train ourselves to think about how important it is that we have God's grace to go through tough times and remain faithful to him no matter what. Let's trust God to give us the strength we need and the courage we need to stay with him no matter what. No matter what. Back to Matthew 10. Listen to this. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is he talking to there? Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Remember English grammar. We're told that when no specific subject is written as part of the sentence, then the subject is understood to be you. It is understood, not assumed, that is the subject, you, whether it's you singular or you plural. In this case, the Lord Jesus is instructing and forewarning his 12 disciples. So the subject here is the plural form of the word you, or the, in other words, you could say you all. You all be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is he really talking to the 12 disciples like that? Is he really telling his 12 disciples to be afraid of, to fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Who is it who can do that? God. God can destroy both soul and body in hell, soul and body. And he's letting them know, hey, look, yeah, these wicked humans can kill your body, but they cannot kill your soul. Don't be afraid of them. You be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Here's the deal. People who can kill the body and may indeed kill the body have done all they can do. They will have done all they can do. And that which they have done will only be temporary. The body will only be dead for a while. Whether that while is 3 years, 33 years, you name it. It's only going to be dead until the Lord Jesus resurrects that body, raises it from the dead, so that that body, that resurrected body, can rejoin, reconnect to your glorified spirit. What you don't want is to have God get hold of you and destroy the body and the soul in hell. He goes on, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. You know, the birds, the sparrows, build nests, and they build them up kind of high in order to keep themselves and their little ones safe, hopefully out of the reach of predators that might eat them. If a sparrow falls out of its nest and falls to the ground, it could be badly injured. It could be killed. Because of the impact. If it's up high enough and it falls wrong, it could die from the impact. But what else could happen? It could be injured badly enough that it falls to the ground and it is unable to fly back to safety. And it could be pounced on by some predator and eaten. And the Lord Jesus said, look, that bird, that sparrow is not going to fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. It may be the will of the Father, God's will, that that sparrow fall to the ground and whatever fate befalls it, befalls it. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now listen to this. He didn't say, don't worry. You'll never have to worry about falling from a tree. You'll never have to worry about being pounced on by a predator. That is not what he said. Let's listen to the rest of what he's saying. He's letting us know our worth, our value is much greater than that of many sparrows. So does that mean we won't have to worry about being pounced on? Well, let's read on. He already told us that people are going to be giving the saints over to be killed. Brothers betraying brother to death. Children betraying parents to death and so on. Let's see if that's still what he's talking about now. Telling us, don't fear the one who can kill the body. Sounds like that's what he's still talking about. Let's read on, though. You may not be convinced. Verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Disown. The King James Version says deny. And the word deny literally means to disown. And to disown means you once had a relationship with that person, but now you're saying you have no connection whatsoever. None. And the Lord Jesus is still saying, whoever acknowledges me before men. He's talking about those times when you are brought before those who will try you to determine what to do with you, how to dispose of you for following Jesus, for being one of his representatives. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. So they're telling you, all right, do you still acknowledge this man Jesus? Do you still say you're one of his? Or are you going to go ahead and deny that you ever had a relationship with him? Or if you ever had one, you're severing all ties now. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Whoever says to these men who are threatening to put you out of your home, take your automobiles, throw all your food away and leave you with nothing. Whoever says to those men, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am one of his. Then I'm going to say to my Father, he is one of mine. But whoever decides that they are going to sever their ties with me out of fear of what these wicked people are going to do to them, then before my Father in heaven, I am going to say, I have no connection to him whatsoever. I have no connection to her whatsoever. They have disowned me, and so now I am disowning them. Do not suppose, the Lord Jesus goes on to say, that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Does that surprise any of you? That really caught my attention the first time it really caught my attention. The Lord Jesus did not come to bring peace to the earth. This is not the time for peace. This is the time for the sword. This is the time for people to draw the battle lines. This is the time that the dividing line is drawn. And those who are with Jesus are with him. Those who are against him are against him. What does this sword do about relationships? We'll see that in just a few minutes.